Welcome to the Over 40 Alpha Podcast with your host, Funk Roberts. Funk has co-authored the best-selling book, Rapid Body Makeover. He is a master metabolic trainer, has been interviewed as a fitness expert on NBC, ABC, and CBS affiliates, and has a dedicated following of over 1.5 million people worldwide. With this podcast, Funk is dedicated to helping men in their 40s, 50s, 60s, and beyond to regain their manhood and reach their highest potential through fitness, health, nutrition, mindset, and becoming over 40 alpha men. Join me in welcoming your host, Funk Roberts.
We are live, we are live, we are live, people. And welcome to the Over 40 Alpha Podcast. This is episode number 52. And I'm your host, Funk Roberts. I'm a former professional athlete turned certified MMA strength and conditioning coach, master metabolic trainer. I'm an Amazon best-selling author. And of course, I'm the guy known around the world in the fitness industry, in the health and fitness industry. I'm the guy known to helping men in their 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, and beyond completely transform your life, get into the best shape of your life through workouts, nutrition, recovery strategies, sleep strategies, mindsets, and of course, naturally boosting your testosterone levels, teaching you all the ways to naturally boost your testosterone levels while keeping all your hormones at bay. Because this, as we are in our late 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, is the number one focus, is keeping our testosterone levels as high as we can as we age so that we can lose weight. Because that's what testosterone is all about. Not only is it about the libido, but it's about you losing weight, building fat, you getting rid of that belly fat, you building muscle, getting rid of that belly fat, energy, confidence, health, better health, everything that makes us a man has to do with our testosterone levels. So that's what this podcast is about. It's about giving you information, giving you the power, giving you the knowledge to understand what we need to do in our lives to help us achieve the greatest health as we get older, because we're not supposed to have the dad bod. Okay. Don't get it twisted. All right. We're supposed to be healthy, lean, ripped. We're supposed to have that six pack abs. You can have them in your 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s. You can. I see it every single day. I see it every single day in my program, the Over 40 Alpha Brotherhood, the over40alpha.com. Go right now to over40alpha.com. If you're looking to lose weight, to build muscle, to get into shape, to finally get off the couch and get back into where you were back when you were younger, you know, you can achieve it. You can get healthy. If you have health issues and right now you're like, man, I'm pre-diabetic, I got to get my shit together, then go to over40alpha.com, because that's why I'm here. I'm your coach. I'm your trainer. I'm there for you on a weekly basis. I'm there for you every day. You got a support group. It's an easy to follow program. You can follow along workouts. You click play, you work out with the Funks, you've got a nutrition plan that's super, super easy. We also want to keep you pain-free. So we got a lot of recovery stuff, warm-ups, stretches, mobility, yoga, and of course, mindset. That's one of the biggest things for me is coaching a lot of mindset and helping you stay motivated, helping you stay focused and consistent on getting the results you're looking for. So go to over40alpha.com. It's a $1 trial. Join it now. Right now, as you're watching this or you know, make sure that if you're listening to this, over40alpha.com. For the Over 40 Alpha program. So like I said before, I know you can get in the best shape of your life because I see it every day. Literally have over 5,000 members, over 5,000 brothers in this program who day in and day out continually make incredible results and incredible strides. And they've all started, you know, where you're starting right now if you haven't started yet. Anyways, on today's podcast, like I said before, one of the things that, you know, one of the pillars of the program, there's mindset, which is the number one pillar. Once you get that mind right, nothing's going to stop you. There's workouts. Of course, you can't work out the way you used to work out before. We need to work out. We need to do exercises, workouts, and routines that are focused for us, for men over 40, to keep us healthy, to help us boost our metabolism, of course, our testosterone, HGH. There are specific types of workouts that we need to do in order for us to get the results, right? Old school ways of working out or cardio for 45 minutes, 60 minutes, that is not going to work. That is not going to work as we get older. So, you mean you can even go back to episode number... What is it? Episode, probably number two or three. You'll find that information there on workouts. Anyways, the pillars, workouts, nutrition, what to eat, when to eat, how much to eat, and of course, recovery. And on today's podcast, we have Skylar Pond. Skylar Pond is, he's Dr. Skylar Pond. He's sports medicine. And basically, Skylar is going to come on and talk about, recovery, regeneration, right? It's a great podcast. He's a sports chiropractor. And basically, Dr. Pond, his life took a turn towards sports medicine when he suffered a right tear in his shoulder, while playing rugby. So, all of us, have these injuries, right? That, oh man, I was doing so great and then I got injured. And even as we get older and trying to do workout programs, we get injured. And it's like, I was on this program and I got injured and I couldn't do it anymore. So the options pose him to either get surgery, shoulder surgery, or stop talking to people, right? Or develop a demanding experimental shoulder stabilization routine and continue to stay and play pain-free. And after a successful experiment, he was inspired to pursue a degree that took him to become a sports chiropractor. Not only is he just a certified chiropractic sports physician, but he serves as the team physician for the Seattle's pro rugby team, the Seattle Seawolves. He's big into MMA, Ivan Salivary MMA team. And he also, he practices what he preaches. He's a blue belt in jiu-jitsu. He's done kettlebell sports. He's done cross. He was even on the Broken Skull Challenge. That's a show with Steve Austin. Anyway, so on today's episode, we're going to talk about regeneration. We're going to talk about how to navigate injuries and how to train so that you can stay pain-free. And his story, and it's a good podcast. It's fun. He's very passionate. So you're going to hear some passionate things. I love him, man. I love Dr. Skylar Pond. So anyways, Dr. Skylar Pond, we're going to talk about regeneration, talk about his life. And listen up. It's really good because, again, you're going to get that nugget. Stay till the end because it's always that one nugget that's going to make a complete difference in your entire life. Enjoy the podcast. All right. So, welcome to the O40 Alpha podcast. And today I'm super excited because we're going to talk about, recovery and injury prevention and all the things that we really need to focus on as we get older, as we age, because, bottom line is in your early 40s and even in your 50s, you're still focusing on, getting that six pack and getting in the best shape of your life and losing weight. But I'm telling you right now, as you get older and you're late 50s and 60s, it's more about just staying injury and pain free and not as much about the aesthetic. Sure, that's going to be the byproduct of a full, nutrition, workout, recovery program. But it's all about, my wife and I even now are focusing on trying to just, it's staying pain free and injury free. So I'm really excited today to have Dr. Skylar Pond, who is going to take us through some of his expertise in regards to regeneration, recovery, and injury prevention. And thanks so much for being on the podcast. Skylar, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing really well. It's a great opportunity to be here. Your intro just now just touched on a lot of important points. That fitness goal that we cling to in our younger years is only accessible if we're able to overcome our little dings along the road, our little injuries. For a lot of people, they end up kind of stacking up on us. One little knee injury turns into an ankle problem, turns into a hip problem. And, what we really want to do, what we strive to do is to get us in that regenerative capacity to be able to just kind of check that box, move on with our lives, just like we did when we were 14, 15, 18 years old, and that's the name of the game. It's recovery from either your workout or from your prior injury, sporting activity. All these things go together, don't they? Injury prevention and performance, it's all kind of the same game, just kind of the extremes.
Yeah, right? I agree 100%. That's one of the things that, again, my program focuses on, just like, everyone's always surprised. It's like, man, most programs out there are just about workouts and nutrition and workouts and workouts. But a lot of the focus is on those recovery days and I'm forcing these guys to take those recovery days. Mm-hmm. But before we get into it, let's rewind and who are you? Let's talk about, you know, your background and you know, where you're from and just, you know, how you got to this point.
Oh, sure. How I got to where I am. So where I am, I own a sports medicine clinic. I own Sports Medicine Northwest with my wife. We've been running this clinic for a little over a decade here out in Seattle, Washington, in West Seattle. We have a specialty working with a very similar demographic that you do. I mean, I'm 41 years old now, and kind of my passions, as they evolve and change, my expertise evolves and changes, and my patient base always ends up kind of reflecting who I am and where I am with my life and my path. You know, I began in sports medicine like most people did and do, with my own experience being on the receiving end of some sports medicine. You know, and where I started out, I was just kind of pushing the limits in the capacity of some contact sports. I had aspirations to see how far I could go with rugby here in the United States in my youth. And that was the pathway that got me exposed to plenty of opportunities for recovery. you know what I mean? But back then, you know, in my early 20s, it was just different. You know, I pop my shoulder out of socket, pop it back in, tackle the next guy who comes near me. Yeah. And it was through the kind of the aging of my career, as I had children, where I learned that I had to be thoughtful. I had to be proactive. And that was an exciting puzzle for me to engage in. I was able to avoid some surgeries and get all excited about my capacity to help people with shoulder injuries. And I ended up bailing on the kind of far-fetched dream of being a professional rugby player, because, you know, there's only been professional rugby in the United States for 3 years. I'm talking about 20 years ago, you know? I didn't know. I don't know what I was thinking. I was thinking, you know, kick the door in, be passionate, figure it out. Somebody will pay you.
Totally. We all
do. Yeah. And where that's evolved to now is, you know, the first, you know, three quarters of my career, I was really a shoulder specialist, because that was my passion. That was where people would look me up for. And if I've ever had an injury, you better believe I'm going to be excited to help you with that same one. And I can expose what I thought to be my experience to be kind of the myths and what you find in the medical community about what helps and what doesn't. Take people under my wing. And it's all evolved as things do. And I went down, way down that group fitness, competitive fitness, CrossFit rabbit hole for another 7 years or so. I was competing in the regionals every year and had my teammates, and it was a big, exciting deal for me. And I did that for a while, and then things kind of evolved. Then my clinic was all about, how can you deadlift safely? How do you prep for deadlift? What's the proper pairing? How do you warm up for it? How you cool down after that? I'm really grateful I had that deep dive into that world, because boy, that's relevant every day with my people. You know, we do a real functional strength as medicine kind of approach to rehab here at Sports Medicine Northwest. And I put everybody on the trajectory to heavy deadlifting to help them with their low back pain. Now, what you do with that trajectory is your own. You know, some people are going to stop right there with the, you know, planks and static holds, and that's fine. But I've got that door open. We'll go as far as you want. And if you come to me and you already are a power lifter, then I can't wait to show you some tricks that I've picked up over the years to get more out of your recovery process proactively. What do you do? What do you do to warm up for your heavy lifts? What I do with my people is I have them just do what I would do if you were already hurt. If you're already hurt, what's your rehab? Okay, well, that's your warm up now. You do your rehab as your warm up, and that's just such an easy thing to do, you know.
Right.
The latest evolution, I've been competing in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. I got into that world, and I got to have another injury. I tore up my knee in my third tournament. I was a white belt. And I got to experience a whole nother level. Like, okay, now I'm 39 years old. How do you recover from something? You don't get just pop it back in a socket. Right. And I got to, you know, some influences here in like Joe Rogan podcasts, and so excited to try out regenerative medicine and PRP and stem cells and all this. And it's like, all right, let's go. Let's see what this can do for me. And so I had another kind of healing crisis at that point in my career, just, you know, 3 years ago. And so now I'm team physician for Ivan Salivary MMA, and I'm working with a lot of fighters in the same situation. I'm fighting and competing obsessively in jiu-jitsu, just like I used to do everything else. You know, I just got to find that opportunity for me to become a white belt every once in a while and start from scratch, and just try to find where I get a big return on my effort. And right now that's where it's at, because I have no background in any kind of combat as far as martial arts or wrestling. So just to jump in and put my foot down on the gas pedal and see what happens has been a very gratifying experience. Now I get to really relate to my patients who are in that world. And And I get to continue to experiment and grow and remain passionate and engaged in my day-to-day work. So I'm very fortunate that I have the freedom to just change my office, my business, my company to match exactly what it is I'm on fire about at the moment. So my wife, God bless her, she tolerates my wild lefts and rights and supports me every step of the way. So we just keep on going, and here we are.
Yeah, I mean, that's awesome.
I get to be on shows like this. This is wonderful. I love it.
Yeah, man, I love that passion. I love that that fire, because you know, when you have that passion and that fire, along with the evolution, you keep evolving, which is amazing too. You know, first of all, when you have that fire and passion, 100%, it's just going to put so much more effort into what you're doing in regards to, you know, helping people with injuries or helping people with prehab or recovery or that sort of thing, because you're literally living it. So yes, when you're living it, you're bringing that on. But I also love that evolution too, because, you know, I was a professional beach volleyball and indoor volleyball player as a youth for like 20 years. I played all over the world. I played for Canada.
Wow,
I played
yes.
on the FIVB, the AVP. I played on all the tours. And then, you know, after I retired, you know, here I am just, you know, 9 to 5, I have kids. And then at the age of 40, you know, I really jumped into UFC and MMA, and I started training Muay Thai. And at 41, I fought professionally in Thailand, you know, big at 41 years old, which was, you know, yeah. that time. But not many 41-year-olds are fighting, you know, in a stadium.
We have a very similar timeline, just sub out rugby exactly. for volleyball. And we've had very, very similar experiences.
Totally. That's and then awesome. So, and for me, in order for me, and the reason, one of the reasons why I competed was I was also doing strength and conditioning for fighters. So I was, you know, strength and conditioning mm-hmm. fighters all over the world. And yeah. I wanted to know what it felt like to go through a fight camp, to do all that stuff. And then, mm-hmm. and then, you know, fast forward now to being 51 years old and, you know, my, you know, living through having low testosterone, all that stuff. Again, that passion comes over. So I love the fact that you've kind of gone through the same thing, and you've done a lot of sports and a lot of things that a lot of guys who are listening to this probably, you know, in their youth, you know, they were athletes, right? And a lot of them were athletes. And then even in their, you know, late 20s, early 30s, they're probably playing, you know, if they didn't go pro, they were still playing the sport that they love. And one of the things I really love to encourage these guys is that, listen, you love golf or you love basketball or you love shinny hockey with your buddies. And now you can't play it because you're either out of shape or you're injured or whatever. Let's get you back to where you can still go out there at 40, 50, 60 and enjoy the sports you or jujitsu or whatever it is. And I love that. Yeah, I love that you're bringing this to the table. It's amazing.
Yeah, what I was thinking about when I hear your experience, you know, also can contrast with mine for one thing. I've encouraged every friend of mine who's ever had a tall child, please get them into beach volleyball. That looks like the most fun lifestyle ever. You know,
I'm awesome.
I play with my buddies. We play just like a little sandlot league here on the beach in West Seattle, and we're terrible, but we're there just having fun. But that looks like, I mean, that those look like the people who are really living. You know, if I could pick a sport to be a professional in, you're traveling the world, getting a tan, enjoying a fun game. Am I on track here? I mean, was there a sport that you'd trade out for if the money was exactly the same length of career? I look at that and I just say, get your tall child involved in this fun game. This is the way to go.
100%. So I was an indoor player, and then I turned on NBC one day and Karch Kry and Brent Froehoffer playing Sinjin Smith, Randy Stokos. These are just names no one knows, but they were playing on a beach. I'm like, dude, why am I playing indoor with
yeah.
six guys when I can be in Santa Barbara on a beach with hundreds and hundreds and thousands of people watching, you know, and it's just me and my partner. This is what I want to do. So, and luckily here in Toronto, in Canada, in Ontario, we actually, beach volleyball was huge in Ontario. We had some guys from the 60s who were playing on the AVP. So this was the mecca of beach volleyball in Canada, was in Toronto. So we had a tour here, and then I started to travel to all the other tours. It was amazing. The lifestyle is incredible. You just travel, you go to a beach, you train, you party, and you leave. You know what I mean?
That's exactly what I was hoping you were going to say. And that's what I see when I look at it. You know, as you say, the process of trying to maintain that ability to kind of go from one passion to the next and continue on, it's something that that I treasure. I understand that we're all fighting an uphill battle. You know, our bodies that we use to give us access to all these wonderful experiences and all these passions, they are slowly trying to limit our options, right?
Yeah.
It feels small. There's that creep, right? But you know, my clinic here, I love the fact that I have the Brookdale, a senior living facility right next door. You know, before COVID hit, I'm watching these seniors shuffling by with limited mobility. And these are the athletes in the center. These are the ones who actually get to go outside, right? And it's that constant reminder that this is where my body wants to go. And it's up to me to determine how slowly I get there. you have to fight off. Like at first it just feels like, oh, I can't do, you know, back squats anymore. Well, that's that creep, and it's going one direction. It's going to that place where your body becomes less of your limitless tool and more of your imprisonment tool, something that hurts, aches, and won't move for you. And I enjoy that perspective. It's a little bit dark. It's a little bit negative, but it's reality, and it's my motivation. It's kind of like that concept of meditating on the fact of death. It makes your life better. Meditating on the fact of the limitations of my body. That inspires me to celebrate the liberations I still have access to, and that's the long game. That's the game we're playing. So it's not just cutesy. It's not just for fun. Jiu-Jitsu isn't just a show off on Instagram, although I love to do it. It's also necessity. It's my tool for liberation. It's how I'm going to stay where I want to be, and that's above the ground.
Love it. No, I love that. I love that philosophy. I love it for sure. Okay, let's talk about regeneration. So sure. Let us know, what is that? What is regeneration, and how does it fit in our life right now?
Well, regeneration at its basic level is why we're alive right now. Our cells are constantly turning over. We're constantly recovering from injury, whether it's minor or major. It could be self-imposed injury, such as your last workout. We have to regenerate. We have to build new tissue. We have to be in a cycle of constant injury, recovery, regeneration. We're always in a state of plasticity. So at its fundamental level, it's just the study of wound healing. But from our level, from what we want to do with you and your work, and with me, my clinic, my team, my staff, is just trying to optimize that kind of on the extremes. Who the heck is recovering and regenerating the best, and why? That's what we really focus on when I cultivate my team here. So I'm a sports chiropractor, but we're not just adjusting spines to help regenerate. You know, that it's a good start, but it's not going to get people where they need to be. So when I'm assembling my team, when I'm picking what kind of nurse practitioners, what kind of other physicians, what kind of naturopathic physicians, physical therapists, acupuncturist, massage therapist, when I'm thinking about who to bring in and how and why, what we're doing consciously is thinking about who is regenerating the best, who is recovering from their workout and thriving, who's recovering from their surgeries and thriving, and why. What are the elements about these people? And that's how we try to use a template to formulate our lifestyle goals, right? If we're trying to manipulate diet and nutrition, gut health, hormonal levels, all of these elements that can take kind of a low responder and turn you into a high responder. That's a critical element of how we really strive to get the most out of what I consider like a regenerative protocol. Mm-hmm. A regenerative protocol, what people usually think about, and I imagine you've discussed this several times on this show. Usually people are talking about kind of the passive side of the coin. You know, you go to an office, you get an injection, right? And that can be anything. If you can be talking about testosterone, PRP, hyaluronic acid, amniotic fluids, stem cells, there's a whole world of tools available for that passive part of the care. And we really do our best to maximize the impact we get out of that passive point, right? Because with all things like nutritional interventions, you look at like creatine, one of the most effective nutritional interventions you can make, you know, in the strength world. Still within that world, you're going to have high responders, low responders, and non-responders, right? So kind of diving into the weeds and trying to figure out how do we make our people high responders, you know? And Yeah, when we set people up like that, we're it's not as scientific as far as a study goes, because we're going to really load the deck. We're going to stack the deck in a patient's favor. You know, as far as biomechanically goes, we're going to make sure that they're moving in a certain way. As far as soft tissues go, we're going to make sure we address scar tissue buildups. As far as nutrition goes, we're going to get people in a state where, an analogy I like to use is, we try to clear the table, clean the plate. My understanding of what we're doing with our regenerative medicine protocols is, we're aiming your body pinpoint to where you want it to heal, where you want it to regenerate, right? Because it's innate. Your body was designed to heal. Every time you cut yourself shaving or sprain your elbow, It's going to happen. You're going to have platelets aggregate in that area to keep you from bleeding to death. And that's going to trigger your body into a healing state. You're going to have an inflammatory process. And now your own native stem cells gravitate, get to the job and kind of govern and direct a healing process, right? Mm-hmm. Now, the people who come to me who've allowed their body to accumulate damage over the decades, it's harder to direct your healing process to one point, right? Yeah. If I do my job and I put a truckload of platelets into an area, and basically I'm just telling your body, heal this damaged knee, I can get your body's attention, right? It's like calling your dog over. All right, come on over, stem cells, fix this. But in a body that has a damaged, leaky gut, a poor diet, the other knee is also damaged. We've got poor biomechanics. So every step is creating friction and inflammation. That's like calling your dog over in a dog park. You know, it's going to come over for a second, might sniff your hand, then it's gone. You know, so what we really strive to do is to maximize the potential of these emerging technologies. And you know, I'm on that high responder scale. You know, my experience when I did my PRP stem cell interventions for my knee were nothing short of fantastic. Yeah. They're incredible. And I want everyone to have that similar kind of response. And that's where the fun part comes in, working with that puzzle and trying to lay down the lifestyle foundation that, you know, people get the result that makes me feel great. You know, yeah. So it's selfish to a certain degree, but of course it's going to make them feel great as well. Mm-hmm. You know, there's nothing more satisfying than having someone who kind of went on a limb and put themselves out there and it pays off. But there's nothing more frustrating than when it doesn't pay off. You know, you know that you're going to have that spectrum, but we just you know, with me and my team here, that's how we go about trying to stack the deck and keep people very satisfied with the process that we're going through here.
Yeah. So I love. The other thing, I love what you said about lifestyle and ensuring that it's a full lifestyle, you know, because in order for us to regenerate or in order for us to heal quickly and efficiently, we need to have that lifestyle in place before, like you say, you just go in and kind of, you know, do the passive approach, because the passive approach may or may not work. And then you're back to square one. Whereas if you have that lifestyle, you're eating properly, you're fixing that leaky gut, you have that exercise and strength in the body because you've been doing it before, you've got already have a recovery or prehab or mobility protocol, you have all those things in place, then when you do get injured or when something happens, you have to go for surgery, you're going to bounce back a lot quicker. Or you get into an accident, because, you know, I just looked into my Brotherhood Facebook group and someone just got into an accident. I've had guys in the past get into a car accident or whatever and bounce back really quickly because they've been implementing the lifestyle change. So their bodies were like, man, I was able to recover a lot quicker. But, you know, so I like the fact that you talked about lifestyle for that in order to speed up that recovery or at least to get the best results from all these other approaches. Right, but what are some things these guys can do in order to, like, I mean, I did say, you know, the full lifestyle, but what are specifically some things these guys can do if they get injured? Because I got a lot of guys who are coming into the program with, you know, injuries. I've got soldiers who have, you know, hip, you know, injuries and knee injuries and blown shoulders and neck injuries and all these things that or even past surgeries, right? That you know, they may have had to get them to the point where they can start working out again. And then, of course, you know, something that happens on the job, or like I say, the motorcycle accident, which comes to my mind, then their body kind of breaks. What are things that these guys can do from home, or, you know, even with their, even, I mean, I always tell them to go, like, if they have some type of coverage, to take advantage of it, because men generally don't take advantage of their coverage. Men generally don't jump to the, oh, I'm going to go get my massage, you know, and or from a massage therapist or somebody, or I'm going to go see my doctor. Like, it's like pulling teeth with these guys until they get injured, until, you know, that happens. So what are things these guys can do?
Yeah.
Do you, you know, to get them to a point where they can start recovering quicker?
Well, you have, there's kind of twofold. You have that mechanical kind of passive point of care. If somebody has coverage and they're seeing, they're working with professionals, boy, there's so much you can do for someone like this who is, as you're describing, kind of tough, hard-nosed kind of a patient group, right? as I see them, people who, you know, hard work and kind of grinder mentality got them all of the success they've had in their life. And then all of a sudden now they're that same tool isn't working as well. So there, that I'd say the answer is twofold. You know, if you're actually going in and getting worked with, it's such a wonderful opportunity. From my perspective, when I get my hands on someone like this, there's so much low hanging fruit. You know, think of it. This is like, think of people treated their whole body like this. I'm like the dentist when a 45-year-old man shows up and it's their first time seeing a dentist. And I'm saying, hey, I'm going to introduce you to something called floss, right? And I mean, it'd be a tragic situation, but imagine my opportunity to help them with the basics in a scenario like that. So when I get my hands on your classic, veteran, infantry, you know, spinal compression through every single joint, and kind of like that, you know, that hoo-gog, just drive through kind of mentality. There's so much we can do manually, you know, everything from Graston technique and cold laser therapies and everything that my massage therapists do, acupuncturists do, all the way through trying to repair the joints. But as far as what they can do actively, they have just as many options. You know, if we're trying to get them to get kind of a decompression kind of a mentality going on, that's a big part. I mean, if you're kind of broken down and compressed throughout your body and you're getting your joints broken down, whether you're post-surgical or what have you, it's so simple to get some home decompression happening. I get a lot of my patients started with just a little foam wedge they can just lay underneath their neck and elongate and return the shape of their spine and kind of get a foundation of kind of correct your own alignment so that you can heal in the proper sort of a way. That's something that I get a lot of my people started on, something that your population should absolutely look into, you know, kind of home passive decompression, where you're just basically laying over a wedge, whether it's low back or under your neck, and letting things kind of fall back into place a little bit for you.
When you say wedge, you mean like a foam roller type thing?
Well, this would be something a little bit, and that's useful too. I think it has decreasing returns, a foam roller. Most of my people, it's self-selecting. The people who come see me, foam rollers don't work for them. Okay. Because why'd you come and see me? You already healed yourself. You know what I mean? So from my limited perspective, 100% of the time, foam rollers don't work. Because if it did work, why are you in my office telling me your story? Mm-hmm. I have kind of an educated population, and they've already tried the basics for the most part, right? I like foam rollers, but they have a decreasing return. You know, you're gonna get everything you needed out of a certain tissue within the first 30 seconds. Then people just keep on grinding and keep on grinding and trying to like break up scar tissue or something like that. And really all you can do is create some pressure in the area to help fluid exchange, you know, because that's how you know, your lymphatic system works, from external pressure on these one-way valve systems. And if you have insufficient pressure through muscular contraction, you have some body fat in there, you're not going to be able to compress that vasculature the right way. Mm. So a foam roller is very, very helpful, especially in the lower extremity, for just getting external pressures and relieving that buildup of metabolic waste and lymphatic tissues. Boy, it really doesn't take long to put that pressure on, though. Mm-hmm. So that's a little bit of an aside. But yeah, I like them. I use them, but I use them kind of differently, I guess, than many of my patients do. Well, some of the things we do with more what I'm thinking about is more of like a postural wedge that is static, right?
Okay.
You can get a wedge you lay across through your lower back that's kind of reintroducing the lumbar curvature. And you just lie there for a couple minutes. You can get one underneath your neck. You just lie underneath it, and it's shaped specifically for the ideal curvature of your neck. You just lie across that, and kind of reintroduces that cervical curvature and gets a little decompression in there. So I don't know. I just decided to grab one item out of the hat, something people can do at home that might have a big impact. That's something that a lot of my people have certainly thrived with. If you're trying to think about what you can do from home, more from that kind of lifestyle foundation perspective, something that a lot of my people have had a lot of fun with and a lot of success with is just doing a home gut biome test where they're trying to get an understanding of what's going on in their entire digestive tract. And you know, it's the ones that we do, you simply send a stool sample off to a lab and they give you a full report. And it's very user-friendly, you know, from a staff side, we're basically just kind of introducing you to the app, and away you go. You get a full report of your grading your health in certain areas, which is kind of eye opening. You know, when I take a health assessment or test, I'm used to getting the okay, all clear. Away you go. Not the case. Not when I took this test. I was mediocre at best, and it was very eye opening to me to have some. I'm sorry. I need to get the ringers turned off. Actually, here my staff. So I hear you. I'm gonna pick up, hang up.
Yeah, no worries. That's good, man. We're good.
Yeah. So, it was eye-opening to me because I found very unique interventions that I had no idea. They didn't take any of the low-hanging fruit, no concepts such as stay away from milk, beer, and gluten. Those were not the things that were brought up. It was all very specific to my picture. You know, what was most important was that I stayed away from red apples and tomatoes and goat meat and you know, think mint and you know, very surprising for me just because of very specific findings with kind of the hormonal and bacterial composition of my stomach lining to optimize my health of my stomach lining and to further kind of clear that plate. What I ended up doing was I took some of those recommendations, but I also ordered a product after listening to are you familiar with Zach Bush?
No,
he's a wonderful speaker. Check into him. Have him on your show sometime. He's a lot of fun. He's an MD based out of Colorado, and he really specializes in this world of increasing gut health. Something that anyone could do. As a simple concept of the foods that we eat no longer have any soil on them, right? We have peeled carrots. And that has a big impact on what composes our stomach lining and our entire digestive tract. So one thing that I do after that is I just take a product from Zach Bush's site. I just take a little shot of basically mineral water, you know. But if you break it down further, that's a polite way of saying it's just dirt. I'm just eating dirt.
Right. You know?
Some ancient soils from certain sources. And I just take a little, you know, little pump off that container before my meals, just try to increase the health of my stomach lining. Mm-hmm. So there are many factors in your biomechanical self-maintenance, in your health and well-being with your nutrition foundation. But I think one element or two elements that people might not already be doing might be those low-hanging fruit opportunities would be thinking about decompression of your spine from home, thinking about the easy ways to improve your stomach lining. And also, you know, if they're not taking vitamin D, please do that.
Totally.
You know, it's 100%. It's really big, especially right now with the frustratingly thin and sparse research on COVID and what you can do proactively to help yourself. Totally. I mean, it seems like there must be, what do you think, a $1 million to $1 ratio of the money being spent on pharmaceuticals to either get you a vaccination or something you can do to never be symptomatic with this ever. The ratio is a little skewed. The research that is out there is very supportive of vitamin D and how important that is to fortify yourself. And it's very difficult, you know, especially being in Canada and having dark pigmentation, but you're not going to be able to get the vitamin D you need. You could be completely naked 24 hours a day. Yeah. It still wouldn't do the job, most likely. You know, you really have to supplement in order to remain safe, in order to remain optimal. So those are just a few concepts that come to mind for me. It's an interesting world that we're living in, where you kind of realize with our current state of health, that we're no longer in a bubble. We're no longer on an island where you can just kind of take care of your own health and assume everything's going to be okay. We're all really invested in one another's health right now. Mm-hmm. You know, you can be taking all the vitamin D in the world and you can have no comorbidities. You can be lean and strong. It doesn't mean you can open up your business. It doesn't mean your children can get an education, because the entire community needs to come up with you. We need to all become much stronger and healthier as a people. And mm-hmm. we need to have a planet that's much healthier in order for any one of us to be able to enjoy our own personal freedoms, then live the way we want to live. So I'm very grateful for people like you who are out here and using your voice to improve the health of our communities. Mm-hmm. For my own selfish reasons, because I want my children to go to school and play some soccer and live life and face bullies and get their hearts broken. And you can't mm-hmm. do it through Zoom. Mm-hmm. And the only way we're going to get out of this and the next reason to run and hide and stay indoors and put on a mask is by growing the health of our communities and our planet. There just aren't enough vaccines. There aren't enough masks. If we vaccine and mask our way out of this one, well, we're going to have to do it again for the next one. Mm-hmm. We must become healthier. We must improve the health of the soils on our planet, the diversity on our planet, as we continue to ravage our planet's ecosystem and become more and more limited with what our bodies are exposed to, the mm-hmm. more vulnerable we are to simple viruses, flus, or what have you. And it's an exciting time right now. When I'm in a good mood,
yeah,
and I'm optimistic, it's an exciting time. When I'm in that mood, when I realize there's an opportunity right now for people like you and I and our listeners to realize the urgency that we can no longer look out for ourselves alone, that we must right now, if we ever want to have our own personal health and happiness, we must right now think about how to improve the health of everything and everyone. We're all going to rise together or not. It's an exciting time. It's an exciting time.
I agree 100%. You know, we need to get healthy, and we do need to start with ourselves, because I think specifically for a lot of these guys listening who have families, you know, when you start to show the behaviors of health, you know, yes. eating healthy, exercising, recovery, some of all of that stuff, it morphs down to your wife or your girlfriend or your kids. Yes. And then as a collective, everyone can get healthy, but it doesn't happen when you haphazardly do it or you don't do it at all. So, you know, and specifically during these times now, and even moving into the flu season for a lot of people in a lot of places in the world, because, you know, this program, specifically for the guys listening, they're all worldwide. We have people from Africa. We have people in Australia, New Zealand, all over the world. But we're all trying to do the same thing, is getting as healthy as possible. Mm-hmm. So, I love what you said there about all of that. But yeah, it's definitely important for us to focus on our health. And then if each of us do that, then it's going to be easier for all of us to overcome this, you know?
Absolutely. I at the beginning of the year, you know, we sit down, have your New Year's resolutions, and we sat down with my wife and really trying to think about how can we be as effective as we'd like to, you know, for our community. It's really very difficult, isn't it, to day-to-day make the time and energy to follow through with your personal ideals. And I'm always frustrated with myself when I roll around to the new year, the new January, and I look at, here I am again. Again, I want to make more of an impact with my ideals and with my community, and to be more effective and to be more charitable and be more useful in this life. Mm-hmm. And what we decided to do is to try to become a little bit more passive with it. Mm-hmm. Meaning we decided to take 1% of whatever our company generates. Not our profits, after our clever accountants have figured out how to minimize our profits on paper, but our gross. We take 1% of our company and contribute it in a meaningful way. So what that does for us is passive. Now all we have to do is look out for our own selfish self-interest and try to make money, and all of our community now rises with us. We just write mm-hmm. that check at the end of the month. There we go. And what I wanted to do, I wasn't motivated to do, is I wanted to what can I do to help with this planet that we're living on, and make sure that my children, my grandchildren have a wonderful, beautiful planet to live on. But after having a vote with my staff, because hey, they're all contributing to this 1% as well, they really wanted to go more of a humanitarian route. So we ended up, maybe since this first year, donating 1% to our local food bank, the West Seattle Food Bank.
Awesome.
And what they do is they prevent homelessness in our community. Homelessness prevention, which is really powerful, because we're in an affluent community, but there is a pervasive and destructive underlying current of poverty. We have a lot of children that you wouldn't know are living in their cars for periods of time. Mm-hmm. We have 40% of the community kind of living paycheck to paycheck, and that vulnerability is very real.
Yeah.
And what we contribute our money to is a fund that families can access to get, not a loan, just get money. When they need to connect those dots, you know, they have a bill that's due, they're behind, they're about to be evicted. They can access this pool of resources that we contribute to connect the dots, never get evicted in the first place, never start that downhill cycle, never expose their children to a small period of time of homelessness, because imagine the psyche and the change there, the heartbreak involved there. And then now you have a family that not only was having a hard time making ends meet, but now you've got to come up with first, last, and deposit. And you're living in your car, or you're sleeping on your aunt's couch or something like this. And now you've got a red mark on your flag that says that you've been evicted before. So now you can only live in a pretty sketchy neighborhood and a sketchy building that only has other people who've been evicted. Now your children are exposed to all kinds of things that it's heartbreaking.
Exposed to, yeah.
And what's wild is it's only the average amount of money that someone needs to connect those dots is a $300 kick.
Right,
300, right. 300 bucks. So it's extremely important to us that we connect ourselves to something bigger, more important, and the impact of being able to intervene for multiple families a month and connect that dot. And the program only lets you use this program once a year. So it's getting out in front of it. It's a powerful program. I'm glad that my staff overruled me.
That's great.
I'm really happy for that. And what I did instead, sorry about this tangent. You didn't even ask about this, but what I did instead of that tangent was I tried to have a bigger impact with, as you described, living my own health and being a good role model. What I did was, as a competitive jiu-jitsu player and weightlifter, just started eating vegetarian January 1. It's like, okay, can I maintain my same amount of strength? And can I continue to choke out quality opponents without any food decisions that are detrimental to my environment? Like animal rights stuff aside, that's not even where my head was at with that. But, you know, after watching a really impactful documentary called Cowspiracy, have you checked that out yet?
No, I haven't.
It was a Leonardo DiCaprio project, but it's just a documentary kind of exposing the role that animal agriculture plays in the destruction of our planet, how it's been actively covered up and major organizations. Like, you'd assume that our politicians are paid off. That's just kind of our jaded American worldview. I don't know what it is in Canada, but we just assume as much here. You can call it lobbying. Right. But what this exposed was that all of our advocacy groups were also paid off by kind of like the meat industry and the beef agriculture, such as Greenpeace and Sierra Club and things of this nature are also taking donations from the beef lobby and not talking about what's really important. If you're interested, motivated in saving the planet and saving the rainforest, there's really one thing that you do, and that's go plant-based diet. And it has a tenfold impact on, say, you know, never showering again, just using patchouli or what have you, riding your bike. If you want to have a real serious impact, you switch to a plant-based diet. So that's been the motivator that I did as far as that goes. I just want to, I've got plenty of opportunities to test my little theory that you can eat plant-based and you don't need to, have a steak to go out there and be as powerful and lethal as the next guy in your bracket. So that's the kind of conscious choice I made this past January. And we're running this experiment through a very strange year, but so far it's going really good. And both these elements ended up needed far more than we ever realized once March rolled around, that's another way that we try to kind of amplify that influence on our community through our activities. Yeah.
Cool, man. That's great. And I think that's everything that you're doing is really powerful, specifically for the community and the planet. In order for these guys to kind of, like I said, be able to stay healthy during these times, and to be able to, as they, you know, keep themselves injury free or maximize their recovery, so that they can, you know, do these type of things with their families and with the community and that sort of thing. Cause like I always say that it starts with the person, you know. Yes. What I find a lot of guys do, what a lot of men do, is they'll like you, you know, they'll talk, not like you, but you're doing a lot of things, but you limit. They will say, okay, you know what? I'm helping this cause, or I'm doing this, or I'm trying to get my wife healthy or my kids healthy, but I'm neglecting myself. So, you know, and that's kind of the mindset that I'm trying to change here, is to ensure that you've got to start with yourself first, and that'll help, you know, that'll just help you be able to spread everything that you want to spread. But staying injury free is key, because a lot of guys, you know, a lot of guys will get injured, or they'll get you know, this injury that will put them on the shelf, and they can't train and they can't exercise, and they're trying to find ways to, oh, I injured my shoulder, but I can't do, you know, what can I do instead? It's like, you know, well, the nutrition is going to be key. Recovery is going to be key, but can you leave these guys with like 3 to 4 things that they can do at home? Obviously going to see their specialist, and if you live in Seattle, to go see you. but you know, like 3 or 4 things they can do to help with speed up recovery and help with injury prevention, specifically when, you know, things may be closing up. They're going to be working out more at home. They're going to be, you know, trying to stay injury free and recover to the best that they can. What are 3 or 4 things you can give these guys right off the, you know, that you can say, hey, this is what I would suggest, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Of course, the biggest, most powerful elements aren't very fun for me to report on, because, well, you already knew it, but the follow through is the hardest part, right? Yeah. Everyone knows that you have to sleep really well, right? And whatever it takes to do so, you know, everyone knows there's tons of tricks behind that, but basically it's sleeping, eating, and moving well. Now, that's not very fun, so let me go into some little tangents within that. I imagine that you're well aware that having extremely mobile hips is one of the most important things you can do to maintain your mobility and pain-free movement everywhere else. You know, when I'm dealing with somebody with ankle, knee, and lower back pain and injuries, we're going right to the hips and see how these things move.
Love it.
If they move really well, okay, I'm going down a different track. But if I'm looking for a systemic problem, okay, we've got to get you going with really mobile hips. So what I encourage, and I actually direct 99% of my patient population to do, is to really engage in a different style of mobility. It takes a little bit of a mental change for most of my people, because people like to stretch hard for about 30 seconds and switch off to the next thing, and just like, whoa, slow down. You just started to accomplish something in that movement, and then you jumped off and did something else. So I would greatly encourage getting on the pathway toward having extremely mobile hips. Think about yourself right now. No matter what age you are, you can probably picture yourself 20 years in the future. Picture yourself doing the splits in both directions. Picture that. Imagine it doesn't matter what injury you've had in the past or how naturally mobile you are. If you put in 8 minutes a day right now, you'll get there. It takes time and persistence, and just 8 minutes. Don't jump from one stretch to another. Sit in one very meaningful, worthwhile stretch, whether that's just sitting on the ground in a straddle stretch and relaxing. And it's very difficult to sit for 4 minutes in a position that's uncomfortable for you. So you don't want to hit it real hard. You're thinking like a 4 out of 10, and you just sit there and let it slowly open up. The process that's very difficult for me, thixotropy, is how your tissues actually lengthen. And I have not seen the studies that are telling people to stretch hard for 30 seconds. It's just not the way it works. If you want a tissue to actually change length, you have to sit on that thing for a couple minutes. 2 minutes is the kind of your buy-in if you want to actually change length. And people with the mindset that listen to your program, they're not content with just kind of maintaining their flexibility. That's not fun. That's not exciting. You're looking for transformation. You're looking for change. You're looking for growth. And that same attitude you brought to your military career, or your powerlifting career, or your volleyball career, your jiu-jitsu is all about growth and maximizing and becoming better and different. And that's exciting. So getting on the pathway to true change and growth, you can bring that right into something as boring as a stretch. Mm-hmm. If you're consistent and you ask a lot of your body with it, and you just kind of sit into this thing, whether it's like a lizard pose where you got like that deep lunge and dropping your hips toward the floor, and now you're kind of working toward your front split, or if you're in a straddle pose and you're just kind of sitting out and getting whatever support you need. That's the pathway. That's the journey you've begun. That I got into that because I went and did some yoga with my dad a couple of years ago. Mm. Cause he's just been a lifelong yogi, and me and my wife went down and stayed with him. It's a lot of fun. And we were up late the night before because we were all excited to see each other. Oh yeah.
Hold that thought. I'm just going to,
you got it.
Okay. Yeah. So go for it.
Oh yeah. So what's interesting about going and doing a little bit of yoga with my 71-year-old dad is he's been doing these little stretches his whole life, you know? So even though we were up the night before for no reason, just excited to see each other and drink a bottle of tequila, wake up in the morning, hungover dad in his blue jeans, sitting in a full splits with his head on the ground when I walk into the studio to stretch around with him. And my mind was blown, but he didn't realize what he was doing was special because he always just does yoga on his own. Mm-hmm. And I informed him that's a strange thing for a 71-year-old. And it just opened my eyes. You know, it's like, I can't imagine somebody who can do that having a heart attack tomorrow. I know it's possible, but it just doesn't line up in my mind. I can't imagine you having diabetes. It just doesn't line up in my mind. That just looks like someone who's invested time in their body and their health and their well-being. And it just looks like it pays off. And he was surprised. He was like, oh yeah, I guess, yeah, I've just been doing this, you know, several days a week for, you know, 35 years. I guess I used to not be able to do this. It's like, man, you're in jeans. This is crazy.
Exactly.
I got on that pathway myself, and I started just putting in a couple minutes. Patient shows up late, I'm gonna be out here on the mat, just put in a couple minutes, no big deal. And now I'm, you know, I've got those mobile hips. I can get down there. I'm not like Dave Pond mobile hips, but give me another 30 years, I'll be there. So find something meaningful, a way to dig into it. I mean, you're basically talking about yin yoga, right? That's when you sit in a position, you relax into it. A great resource that I started using early on with it was RAMWAD, range of motion workout of the day. And they basically just walk you through a yin yoga series that's designed for weightlifters.
Love it. So
it's made for that deep squat. The other element would be make sure you have unilateral stability and strength. So whether it's your warm up or it's your workout, if you're always working with both arms at the same time, or you're always working with both legs at the same time, you might be masking a lot of instabilities that you're not aware of. So I like to take advantage of that opportunity with a warm up and make sure if I'm going to be squatting that day, I'm going to be doing unilateral squats to warm up. I'm just kind of picking on myself, try to get my knee to line up with my toe. And that's something really simple. You're already warming up. Go ahead and do that. So if you're already training, or maybe this is your work, this could be your training, you just do a little unilateral work at home, a little bit of single leg tipping bird, and then chill out for 4 minutes aside on your stretch. You've just done a lot of work to set yourself up biomechanically. So if you end up in an office like mine, now I don't have to address these boxes for you. You're going to be in that high responder group. If we're going to invest some energy and time, we're going to do a PRP, regenerative stem cell kind of a series for your hip or your knee or what have you. You're already in that camp. You've already put in a lot of the work toward that heavy high responder group. So those are a couple of simple things that your people can absolutely just incorporate.
Yeah, that's great, man. And I want to thank you. Time is of the essence here. We've reached our limit, but man, that was awesome. Those two tips alone are going to be game changers. I used to do the yin yoga type thing back when I went to fight, because I have no flexibility whatsoever. Had no flexibility, but that was one thing that I can't remember who showed me that or what have you, but I did, and it helped tremendously with my kicking power, the height of my kicks, but also just recovering, you know, day in, day out, you know, especially when you're running, you know, 5K, 10K every day for cardio with Muay Thai. Yes. You know, it's a lot of unilateral stuff, or just, you know, lateral movements.
Yes.
But doing that hip stuff really helped with my recovery and helped me to go through a full camp. I think my camp was like 6 months before I went to Thailand. So it was huge for me. Yeah, it was huge. It was a long time.
Six weeks is kind of a lot to ask.
Yeah, because Muay Thai wasn't my first Muay Thai wasn't my sport. I was a volleyball player. So not only did I have to get into Muay Thai and relearn it because I used to do it younger, but relearn it again. But now I'm training for a fight. So that hips are key. Unilateral yes. movement, of course, key. And yes. If people want to reach out to you, I'm sure there's someone here listening to this in Seattle or how can we reach you? All of your website, your social media, and then of course where your medicine, your practice is.
Well, even the people who aren't in Seattle, I'm happy to kind of work with you abroad a little bit. If you're interested okay. in getting involved in a clinic like mine, I could direct you through a series of conversations and emails what you need to do to prepare yourself to get the best results when you show up at my clinic, right? I can awesome. Walk you through corrective exercise and what have you. And then if you're motivated, say, hey, I was thinking about doing something regenerative, and it looks like I can get the best results if I come to Seattle for a weekend. I walk people through that. We have people come from out of town for service. Services here. So your people are absolutely welcome to reach out to me directly. You can email me directly. That's Skylar, Skylar, at sportsmednw.com. And that's the name of my company, Sports Medicine Northwest, abbreviated down to sportsmednw.com. And I've been doing some speaking lately, and I've been working with some people. It's a lot of fun. Sometimes I'm talking to them about how to get their kids active, and sometimes I'm talking to them about their own hip. And I'm happy to do so. I've got the bandwidth. I'm here for you. And we might be setting you up for an in-person relationship as well, and that'd be great. That'd be kind of our opportunity to really give you both barrels. If you want to have a look at what we do as a company, you can just go to sportsmednw.com. The Instagram is Strength is Medicine. My personal Instagram is Heavyweight Spine Straight. If you want to watch me showing off with my cool kids and jujitsu and lifting things, there's always something silly on there.
For sure. Thanks, man. I appreciate you. I appreciate what you're doing, and I appreciate being on this podcast. Thanks so much, Skylar. Again, guys, contact Skylar, and thanks so much, and we'll talk soon.
Thank you.
Hey, it's Funk Roberts here, and thank you so much for listening to this episode of my Over 40 Alpha podcast. Now, before you go, I've got a special gift that I want to give you, and one thing I need to ask you as a member of our podcast family. First, if you haven't already, please claim your free 30-day trial at over40alpha.com. This is a 30-day trial into our Over 40 fitness program that has workouts, nutrition, mindset training, recovery training, everything you need to help you lose weight, to help you burn belly fat, to help you increase your muscle, and of course, naturally increase your testosterone levels and get you into the best shape of your life. So please go to over40alpha.com and join the thousands of men in their 40s, 50s, 60s getting incredible results on a daily basis. And next, as a member of our Over 40 Alpha podcast family, please, if you know anyone, another guy in their 40s, 50s, 60s who can benefit from listening to this podcast, share it with them. And if you can, please leave a review. It really helps us with the podcast. Thank you so much again. Get it done, and I'll see you next week.
You've been listening to the Over 40 Alpha podcast, hosted by Funk Roberts, former professional athlete turned master metabolic trainer and best-selling author, bringing you the best information to help you get into the best shape and health of your life in your 40s, 50s, 60s, and beyond. Join us for another podcast.